This story of Lazarus and the rich man has always had the power to make me a little uncomfortable. Just a little uncomfortable. It forces me to consider, what is the Lord saying? And what is he speaking about? Who is he speaking to? Jesus uses this story to help us to know that we can't be indifferent in the face of the needs of others. You get a sense from the gospel that the rich man prefers to be blind to Lazarus' plight. He doesn't really want to deal with Lazarus. He's kind of an irritation to him. The rich man, also, if you go back to the original text, it calls him Dives. Dives, it just kind of like means rich man. And so some scholars wonder if this is a true story that Jesus was telling or if it's just meant to be a parable. So the rich man couldn't really avoid Lazarus, right? He's there at his doorstep, always there. There he is again. Man, can't he just go somewhere else? So we don't know a lot about why the rich man was rich or why Lazarus was poor. We're not told that. But it's clear that Lazarus is also a righteous man. You know, he ends up in heaven, and the rich man ends up in hell. Note that Jesus is not trying to make the point that all rich people automatically go to hell, nor that all poor people automatically go to heaven. It's connected to the choices that they make in their situations, the life that they've lived here. Lazarus would certainly have faced many temptations to better his life, right? By maybe stealing or trying to take something for himself or trying to do something, maybe even seeking some earthly pleasure to kind of relieve himself from his plight. But instead, he accepts the miserable state that he's in and makes the best of it while remaining virtuous. And the sin of the rich man is his complacency. In the face of Lazarus' need, you know, he could have fed him, could have probably saved his scraps from his table work, if we hear. He probably could have provided for him out of his means, but instead, he tried not to see him. When it comes to helping those in need, there's sort of two important aspects, I would say. You've probably heard the saying, the expression, give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, feed him for a life. It's a cheeky way of trying to get at the idea that it's more helpful to change someone's lifestyle so that they can support themselves rather than just to, in a moment, set up a system whereby this person remains perpetually in need and they can't ever get out of that cycle. But we can't deny that there are times when we just need to give the fish, right? A person's there, they need it, give them a fish. So taking care of the acute needs is a small investment, right? Just giving a fish is a lot easier. While changing a lifestyle is very challenging, it's very involved, it's difficult. While I was in Rome as a student, I had the first-hand opportunity to witness this. There's a lot of professional beggars there. And they make their living by begging each day. They kind of have their spots. They set up camp there each day, and they're always there. There's a lady that was right at the university door every day. So she was Lazarus for me, I think. They make their begging a daily thing. They go there. And you can start to wonder, okay, what am I supposed to do with this? Can I really change their life? Maybe, maybe not. I remember for myself and a few of my brother seminarians, we chipped in together to buy a train ticket or a train pass for a family that was trying to get to another country where their extended family was. And we thought, by doing this, we'll change their life. They'll be able to go home, get the support they need, have the support system that they need. So we chipped together. What for us was a large amount of money. We put all that in there, and we said, all right, here you go. Here's your train pass. And off they went. So it was a little frustrating. Then about a month later, I think it was, they showed up again, and they wanted another train pass. And we were like, hey, we don't have money for another train pass. We gave you everything we have. And so it was a hard lesson, a very frustrating lesson. But from that point, I kind of changed the approach that I had, whether for good or for ill, you know? So sometimes we have to learn those lessons the hard way, and it's not always easy. However, we can't let those sorts of experiences keep us from really being open and helping people. Sometimes we have to be discerning. It's good. It's a good principle, I would say, especially if you're in this business or helping people or people come to you. It's better to have a relationship with them than just to give out a handout. You never know. You don't know where they're coming from, what their story is, and there are people out there who just take advantage. They go from one to the other. So you have to be careful. You have to be discerning. A meal, a tank of gas, an electric bill, these are sorts of things that might be common needs in our area. But chemical or alcoholic addictions, domestic abuse, homelessness, these are much more challenging. How do you get somebody out of that? How do you help somebody recover from that situation? These are simply symptoms of probably a deeper problem that's going on in their life. And it's not just a matter of, oh, I'll give you some money and then you'll be good. Whose responsibility is it? Am I responsible? Are you responsible? I think the temptation is to think that, you know, this poor person or this person in need, they got themselves into that situation. Why should I fix it for them? It's not my fault. They shouldn't have made the choices that they made. They shouldn't have made the mistakes that they made. So we can have that struggle, right? So I know when I run into a Lazarus in my life, I feel powerless oftentimes. I feel overwhelmed. I think to myself, I don't have the time. I don't know how to deal with this situation. I can't fix their problems. And probably often that's true. I can't. I can't just fix it. And that's, for me, the desire, I just want to fix it, take care of it, and then move on to the next thing. It's not that simple. So I don't want to overlook them, but the temptation is when this is overwhelming, just to, I can't deal with that. I need to just let that one go. It's beyond me. But I think about the gospel. Not today's, but another gospel that we hear. I sometimes need to take a step back and take a look and ask myself, is that you, Jesus? Is that you there standing in front of me? Is that you speaking to me? Is that your need? Matthew 25, verse 42. I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. Truly I say to you, when you did not do it for the least of these, you did not do it for me. That's tough. I know sometimes it is Jesus. I know it is. Other times I'm not sure. And it's not very clear. But either way, it's something I can't just ignore. And this is true for any social issue, you know, not merely the personal encounters that we have, but all social issues. I think a simple example in our present day would be the struggle we see with people at the border. We can't be indifferent to them and their struggles. Even if we're securing our border and we want to better the legal process by which people become citizens of our nation, we can't simply look into their situation and say, I don't want to deal with that, or it's your fault. Our hearts have to be in some way be open, even if we don't have a solution that works. So what do we do? What do we do? There's so much need around us. And if we let all the problems and all the suffering that we see in our day enter into our hearts, we get overwhelmed and we can't do anything. So we have to start small, I think. In our parish, we have a Catholic organization called St. Vincent of Paul. Potentially, they could do all kinds of things, and they do in different places throughout the world. It's a national organization, or international organization, rather. I think our current group mostly focuses on those acute needs, giving the fish, basically. You got an electric bill or something that you can't pay, so they can help with that. But perhaps consider supporting this group financially with a yearly donation or something like that. Or if you really have a heart for this, join in the group. I think it could grow, and I think they could do a lot more given a little assistance from us as parishioners. There are plenty of national and international charities and many good Catholic ones. Find one that you see their mission and it resonates with you. It makes sense to you. You can't do them all, right? I still get letters from Father Dale's. He must have been a very charitable man because lots of things come for him from different organizations. You can't support them all, right? Pick one. Maybe pick one, support that work, and just work with that. We have a local food shelf. Maybe support that. There's organizations all over that do different social needs, and they're in the business of it. So they can better sometimes discern, what is this person actually needing, and how can we best help them? Because sometimes in a moment, we get propositions like, I need something, and I'll tell you, when these people come to the door, it's always an emergency, right? And so you always feel that. You never feel like, oh, I'm glad I can help. It's usually like, I'm on my way to do something else, and I don't have time for this conversation, but it's here, and this is Jesus, and what am I going to do? So sometimes we get stuck in that, and so it's good to know, okay, I can send them to St. Vincent Paul. I can send them to, you know, the food shelf. I can send them to these different places. So sometimes a little education on what's available can be helpful too. And finally, maybe some way of volunteering, helping in some capacity, whether it's monthly or yearly, a couple times a year. Be a part of ministering to others. I think when we have that face-to-face time with somebody in need, it can change our hearts and help us not to be so judgmental or hard against them. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. A lot of times it's uncomfortable to deal with people in need. But that's probably a good thing for us, to be exposed to that. And it's okay to do something that we're uncomfortable with when it comes to serving Jesus. Lord, help us to see Lazarus at our doorstep. Open our eyes and help us to be wise and prudent. May we delight in serving you and our brothers and sisters. Amen.